Did I tell you about the time that what happened when we came home from Africa early?
No, we came home from Africa early?
No. I came home from, like, we, the trip. So
okay.
I was supposed to go with two other pastors, Mike Yoder and Nick Cleveland.
Yeah.
And then Dave Giles to Africa. I was going to see more of what we were doing there in Chad.
Oh, I remember
and
this.
Then they were going to, well, we got to Atlanta and our flights got all messed up. They canceled the trip because our flight got delayed, which pushed us to the next flight, which was 4 days later. And it was already only an 8-day trip. So we lost half the trip.
Yeah.
So we just came home. Well, I get home, and Mandy's, like, in tears. And I'm like, what's wrong? And she's like, I just thought I was going to have a week by myself. And so, like, we wrestled through that, and she's phenomenal. Like, I'm not painting a bad picture, but she just emotionally was not ready for me to come right back home. Well, the next morning, she's still pretty emotional about it, and I eventually, thankfully, had the idea. I'm like, do you want me to see if, like, there's a place I can go for, like, a retreat for myself to give you at least a couple days? She goes, yes. And so I called up a friend of ours that has a cottage up on Lake Erie, and it was available. So I went up there for, like, 2 days or 3 nights.
Which was awesome.
Which was fine for me. I got caught up on stuff, had a mini retreat and some reflection time. She got 3 or 4 days, whatever it was, by herself. But the funny thing was is that morning that we woke up and she's still like, get out of here, was Valentine's Day. And so she's like, bye. I want you to be my Valentine over there. So
did I ever tell you about the time I was out of town, and I had been out of town for 4 days, I think, and Heidi called me, and she goes, hey, how you doing? I said, I'm doing good. And I said, how was your day? And she's telling me all about her day, just chit-chatting. You know, Heidi's fairly bubbly about things, so she's chit-chatting everything, and she goes, can you pick the kids up from school? And I go, I'm in Los Angeles. And she goes, oh. She goes, when did you leave? I go, Tuesday. So we have this ongoing bet. It's kind of funny. I'm pretty sure I could be gone up to 5 days before she would notice I was gone. So
wow.
I'm going to try it sometime. I'm going to sneak out of town and see what happens with
that. That's a whole different kind of special, Jeff.
Oh, yeah. Buddy, I will call home. Like, because, you know, I'm often, you do this too, like we're in a different time zone.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll come home and I'll hear, bzzz. This is a true story. This bzzz. And I go, is that a circular saw? She goes, yeah. I said, what are you doing? She goes, oh, I'm just messing around the house. So we're talking, chit-chatting, catching up with the kids. And then she goes, how do you put the toilet back on? I'm like, what? She goes, the toilet. How do you put it, like, back on so it doesn't wobble? And I go, why is the toilet off? And she goes, oh, I retiled the bathroom. I said, okay. So I told her all about the wax ring and all that kind of stuff. And then she goes, how do you move a like, if there's an electric outlet and then the wall isn't there anymore, what do you do with the electrical outlet?
Wow.
What wall did you take down? She's like, oh, this one. I just wanted to.
Wow. Yeah. There are definitely things Mandy does. It's not that. That's super
it's
fun.
It's funny.
I don't think we've introed our podcast yet, Jeff.
Oh,
so
you should do that, Joe.
We should, just in case you don't know what you're here for. Thanks for checking out Mixed Messages. That's us. That's Jeff that was talking about the tiles and the toilet. That was me,
toilet.
Joe Caruso, the toilet.
Toilet.
Me talking about Valentine's Day away. And so we're very glad you're here with all those mixed
marital messages. Yeah.
With all those mixed signals our wives are sending us. from news, social media, even comedians and friends, tough to know what to think or make decisions. We want to help you sort through that noise and think through things in a way that allows us to cut through all the mixed messages around us and find the way to Jesus. Let's dive into it. Jeff, our question today. This is, we've had some like themes coming through. I think these are probably follow-ups to episodes we've had in the past. So this person wants to know more about the omniscience of God, or the fact that like God knows everything. Mm-hmm. So is he always leading us to the next best paths and working on the best outcomes in his perfect wisdom and power? How do we reconcile that with tragedy? So rape, murder, evil, is that somehow God's best outcome? Or is this not God's desired outcome, but he just uses what happens in a broken, fallen world for good? And does any of that and all of that mean he is or isn't in control?
Well, thanks for the lighthearted question.
Yeah. You know what's funny is I'm pretty sure in the actual message they sent, I think I just copied and pasted the question. I think they even said, here's a light one or something like that. Yeah, for you. Like, so.
This is amazing. So you're asking a question that's been asked almost since the beginning of the faith, and it's probably been debated by theologians again and again for a couple thousand years. So the omniscience of God is the truth that God is all-knowing and that he is eternal. So it's as hard to get your head around, and my answer is not going to satisfy the question completely. So that's just that's why people have been debating it for years. But so God is all-knowing, and he is eternal. So God has always been, and he will always be. So the omniscience of God is part of the omnipresence of God. It's part of the sovereignty of God. It's the power of God. All these things. So God is the creator of the heavens and the earth, which means he's also the creator of time and space and what we might call reality, right? Mm-hmm. All those things have like laws to them that you would look into. And that is, you know, that's not just sci-fi stuff.
Right.
You know, it's deep, deep thinking and deep, deep theory. But the idea that God is omniscient is the idea that he knows all that has happened. He knows all that has happened, is happening, and will happen into mm-hmm. the future. And so we trust that because of God's sovereignty. So God is in control of all of those things, and he is forming and writing the story that he has chosen to write as he is moving humanity forward and then moving time forward, all to glorify himself and to make himself known,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't have a headache yet, don't worry, one's coming. So this is like hard thinking. So God knows everything that has happened. That's probably the easiest part for us to get our head on, because we have 2020 vision.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we look back,
right,
and hindsight, so yeah. Hindsight's 2020, so we can feel like we know those things. But God would know every detail. God would know all the scenarios and the parts of history that are undocumented or that we have wrong. He mm-hmm. would know. God knows everything that is happening. So the Bible says he knows the number of hairs on our head. He orders our days. So he is sovereign over all things that are happening in the world right now. And then he knows everything that will happen or could happen
mm-hmm.
as we go forward. And so he's in control and he's sovereign over all those things. You get into these really, really, really deep conversations then about the will of God and the specific will of God and the general will of God and like the universal will of God.
Mm-hmm.
So the universal will of God is things like every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. It's things like the second coming. You get into the general will of God, which is that we would love our neighbor as ourself, that life is played out over a span of years, that people love and serve each other. Like, that's generally what the will, God's desire for us.
Yeah.
And then you get into the specific will of God, which is, why did I have a flat tire this morning? Was mm-hmm. that the will of God?
Right.
And if you're going to say that God is omniscient and he's sovereign, then somewhere in there, you have to answer yes to that question. And then you have to understand the yes. So if I have a flat tire and it causes me to be 20 minutes delayed, and because I was 20 minutes delayed, I was at a train crossing and I got hit by a train, you would have to ask, like, was that the will of God for me to be hit by a train?
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you take the same scenario, flat tire, 20 minutes delayed, and because I was 20 minutes delayed, I missed being hit by the train.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So you'll hear people say, there's a guy that was supposed to be on one of the flights for 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
So it was the will of God for him to miss that flight. Well, you could say yes. Well, then you have to ask.
The reverse.
The reverse was the will of God for everybody on the flights to be on the flights.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to say yes,
mm-hmm.
right? So now what you're doing is you're not really wrestling with the omniscience of God. You're wrestling with the character of God mm-hmm. and the specific will of God for your specific life. So does God hate death? Yes. Why does an all-powerful God allow it then? And that's a question, that's one question. If you ask me that question, in theory, I would say, what kind of death do you mean? I have a friend, my parents' best friends, my parents are with the Lord, so their best friends were in their 80s. His mother just died. She was 110.
Wow.
And fully lucent.
Wow.
So does God hate death? Yes. Are you talking about the death of 110 years old? Because that was not mourned as a tragedy.
No.
It was actually celebrated as a, oh my goodness, can you believe she lived to be 110 years old? When my parents lost my brother, God hates death? Mm-hmm. Yes. The death of an 8-year-old. Well, yeah. So you get into... What are you talking about? Mm-hmm. You know, does God hate war? Yes, God hates war. Does he hate it that we defeated the Nazis? Right? So you get into, like, I appreciate that God hates that kind of war. I don't appreciate that God hates this kind of war.
Mm-hmm.
I accept the sovereignty and omniscience of God with the 110-year-old person's death. I don't accept it with the 8-year-old person's death.
Mm-hmm.
And so what all this winds up being is it winds up being something that is affecting or reading into our actual faith.
Mm-hmm.
Do I believe in the omniscience of God and the sovereignty of God, and do I trust that a loving, gracious God lovingly and graciously loves me even when he allows or doesn't prevent something that I would have not have allowed or I would have prevented?
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't change the fact that he's omniscient and omnipresent and sovereign, but it's my response to that. Now, if you want to complicate this on yet another level, are we going there, Joe?
I would love to complicate this.
Are we going all the way there? So if you want to complicate on another level, you have examples in Scripture where people changed God's mind is the way we would read it. So Lot did that. He mm-hmm. negotiated down the number of righteous people that needed to be in Sodom and Gomorrah. Moses did that because God was going to wipe out when they created the golden calf. He's like, I'm going to wipe out these people. I'm going to start again with just you, Moses. And Moses was like, you're going to embarrass yourself. And like God changed his mind. So you're like, well, then he's not omniscient. He's not sovereign if God changes his mind. And I'm like, no, he still is. But somewhere in there, in ways that I do not fully understand, God in a relationship with us – interacts with us about what his will could be. Mm-hmm. And he allows us to have freedom within that. You see this in the parable of the widow who pestered the judge until he changed his mind. Mm-hmm. So God wants to hear our prayers. He considers them, so to say. And when he looks into the future, what he could do and what he wills to do, he allows himself to be affected by that. But it's not because he's not omniscient or sovereign or omnipresent. It's because of the relationship that he wants to have with you and I. So God's ways are higher than our ways. So we elevate ourselves to God-like status because we think we understand, know everything. So what the Bible says is if you want to understand your relationship with God, view yourself as a child and him as your father. So I'll give you an illustration of an omniscient God. So let's just pretend that I'm God and that I have children, right? So in my omniscience, I might say, my will might be that we are going to go out to eat. So I have a universal will. We need to eat because I created my children to need food. And then I have a general will. We're going to go out to eat somewhere. So Heidi's not going to cook. I don't cook. So we're going to go out to eat. Well, now what I do is I can involve my children. And there's ways that I can involve my children to help have a relationship with them. I might say, where do you guys want to eat? Mm-hmm. Or I might narrow it and say, do you guys want to go to Wendy's, Chick-fil-A, or Steak and Shake? And it's not that my will is being thwarted or my children are controlling me. For relational reasons, I'm allowing them to engage the process. Mm-hmm. But my universal will and my general will is playing out, and it's going to play out through my specific will. Mm-hmm. So you see God doing that, and in a relational sense, he wants us to do that because when I am invited into the specific will of God, it makes me feel loved. Mm-hmm. When my kids are like, Chick-fil-A, Chick-fil-A, and I pull in the Chick-fil-A, they all cheer.
Right.
And it is fun. It is relational building. It brings joy. And I want that for my children.
And what's interesting is if you take that metaphor a little bit farther, for omniscience sake, like if I ask my daughter, do you want to go to Wendy's, McDonald's, or Starbucks for dinner? I also know she's going to choose Starbucks.
Yeah.
Like, now, it's not to say that she didn't have a choice. She did. But I, even as an earthly father, I know her well enough that that's where she will pick.
Yeah.
So you extrapolate that to the supernatural. Yes, God's giving you a choice to engage in the specifics. And he knows what you're going to choose.
And then you just pull that down into everyday life. So pull it into marriage as an easy example. Mm-hmm. So people have said to me over the years, how do I know I married the right woman? I always say, did you marry her? Then she's the right one. Mm-hmm. So if I looked at Heidi, who I love passionately and deeply, if you said to me, was it God's will for you to marry Heidi? I would say yes. If you asked me a different question, could you have married someone else beside Heidi? I would say yes. Would you be happy? If I married the right person, I would be. Mm-hmm. If that person was like Heidi, I would be. So was Heidi the will of God for me? Yes. Was she the only choice I could make with and still be in the will of God? The answer is no. But me marrying a fellow believer who's passionate about reaching lost people with their lives, that is the general will of God for me.
Yep.
Right? Does she have to be Brazilian? Does she have to be Heidi? No. So there's it narrow, and so what the scripture does, the scripture lays out for us some of the universal will of God, It lays out for us some of the general will of God. And then the Holy Spirit, the scripture, and wise counsel lead us oftentimes to the specific will of God. So I'll give you a very real example of this. I believe that God universally owns all things.
Mm-hmm.
Everything in the heavens, everything on the earth belongs to him. Because of that, in a general idea, God owns all my possessions. My money is actually his money that I manage, okay? So my truck died. I had to buy a new truck, 7-8 months ago. If you said to me, so just run out and buy a new truck, I'd be like, no, I actually prayed about it. And I was just talking to a group of guys about this the other day, and they're like, you really? I was like, no, really. And they're like, why'd you pray about it? I was like, because it's a lot of money. And it's not my money. So I need to interact with my father about, so you believe God led you to your specific F-150 and you bought it? No. I believe God led me to treat my money like it's his.
Mm-hmm.
And then I ask God to give me wisdom to make the best financial decision that I knew how to make in the time frame of, like, I need to get a truck.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think God preserved or created an F-150 just for me, but I was seeking the specific will of God because there was a specific conclusion that needed to be drawn to the matter, mm-hmm. which involved four wheels.
Right.
Right? And so it is following God, believing in God, following God, and then the specific will of God played out. And that is what the omniscience of God and the sovereignty of God, the omnipresence of God, which is God is all places at all mm-hmm. times, that's how it plays out. If you asked me to explain then, if you said, then why are Ukraine and Russia at war, and why doesn't God just zap somebody and stop it, I would say, I don't know.
Well, there's a
is
part
God
of
God out of control? No.
No.
But I don't know what he's accomplishing. It's way above my understanding.
Well, there's a part of this conversation that in some ways we've talked about before on this podcast, but through a different lens of understanding our inherent nature. Because sometimes we ask the question, well, how can a good God allow things like pain and suffering? Or how come a good God doesn't just zap the wrong people, or I should say zap the correct people to stop all this pain and suffering? Theologically, that's a question saying, hey, if God's good and we're good, how come he's letting us good people suffer? Well, that's a theological misunderstanding. A good God is operating with sinful people that have rebelled against him, that are living in the consequences of a generationally complex, cursed, and sinful world. And now we're trying to navigate that. And ironically, death is both a punishment, because all of our sin leads to death.
Yeah.
But we're also living in his mercy, that he doesn't let us live forever in this state. And that's where, like, the 110-year-old, you're like, what a great, what a good life. Glad you made it to 110, but you're glad they're not 510, because that would be torture.
Well, and I know a lady right now in her 90s who prays every day to go home to be with the Lord.
Sure. Yep.
And I think you're so right, Joe, in what you're saying, because, like, even how can a good God let me be in pain? I'm like, well, what do you mean by that? Because you don't think all pain's bad.
Right.
You think unwanted pain is bad. But as a parent, I introduce unwanted pain into my children all the time.
Sure. Yep.
Because I love them.
Mm-hmm.
You know how many times my kids begged me not to go to school?
Sure.
How many times I had to discipline them to do their chores or control their behavior? So I introduce pain into their life because I love them, which is exactly what James 1 is talking about. So it has to come down to a faith and a trust in the character of God. I told you guys when we started this, like, I cannot fully explain the mm-hmm. omniscience of God and the sovereignty of God, the omnipresence of God. I can't It's impossible. I don't. Mm-hmm. I don't fully understand it myself. I have, but I can trust in the character of God, and if I view from the character of God backwards and forwards. Mm-hmm. So I had a lady who I just adore. she goes to our Montrose. She has cancer. Mm-hmm. She's fought it for years in all kinds of pain. She is the most joy-filled human being I've ever met.
She is, yeah.
I love being around. You know who I'm talking mm-hmm. about. Yep. I love being around her. And I'm like, what her life is, her physical body is failing, is broken, it's frustrating, but she trusts the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
So she sees his omniscience and his omnipresence and his sovereignty as good for her, but her life is bad by every earthly definition that mm-hmm. we would lay out, except it's not because she doesn't view it as bad.
Mm-hmm.
And so it always comes down to a faith. And this is where, like, very, very good, godly people, if you guys wanted to listen, like if we got a seminary prof and me sitting here, we could go in circles.
Sure.
And it's kind of fun, and it's a intriguing intellectual exercise to do, and it will always wind up in a circle because you're not gonna wind up grasping the mind of God fully or the nature of God fully, but you can grasp the heart of God.
Mm-hmm.
Which is what he shows us and what he tries to explain to us in Scripture.
Well, I love how you brought up the purposeful introduction of pain to children, because I do think from God's perspective, and you mentioned this earlier, he's our Heavenly Father, we're like his children, there are things that we're going to go through that we don't understand that are better for us. So if you trip and fall as a kid and dislocate your shoulder, the way through it is that really awkward and painful tug of your arm to get it back into place.
Yeah.
So if you're trying to avoid pain all the time, well, now you can't get your arm fixed.
Yeah, and oftentimes the reality is it takes more pain to get out of pain.
Mm-hmm.
And if you ask me why a school shooting happens and children are killed, I do not have an answer for you.
Nope.
Nor do I defend God. I'll say God is good. Well, God could have. I'm like, you're right, he could have. Mm-hmm. Why didn't he? I actually don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I trust his character, and I've chosen to trust him. I never have said I understand all of it. And so it's a real question, and it's a fair question.
And we'll never know when he did it.
Right. We don't know how many times the flat tire caused us to miss the train. Like, he doesn't get any credit for that part of it.
Right.
You know, unless we see it. You know, we don't see most of that. Every once in a while, obviously, we do. But you're going to – we were talking – and I have a Bible study, by the way. Men, you're all invited to it. Sorry, ladies, this is not – it's just a men's only because we talk about a lot of –
do man stuff.
Manly things in there. In fact, we have a rule that you're not allowed to repeat or record anything we talk about in Bible study. But if your husband or your son or brother, whoever's looking for something where, as a man, he can really wrestle through something, it's a really great thing. So it's Tuesdays at 7 a.m. at the community room in Gent Road. But I was talking to that Bible study the other day, and we were talking about the Bible. And they were like, well, this and that and everything. I'm like, great, guys, no matter how many answers I give you, and I have them,
mm-hmm.
We're going to always be back at we choose to believe. We believe the Bible because Jesus believed the Bible. That's why we choose to believe it. And you're going to do the same thing with the sovereignty of God and the omnipotence of God. You're going to be like, well, I choose to believe in the character of the One.
Yeah, it's just incredibly based on exposure to the goodness and the faithfulness of God, and then trusting Him.
Yeah,
I mean it is.
I don't know another way around it.
Yep, and honestly, that is so much of the verbiage of the Scripture.
Right.
Have faith, trust in me, follow me. You know, like And then this, the promises. And I will work this out together for good for those that love me and are called according to my purpose. I will usher you into my paradise. I am preparing a place for you. You will never give up what you're not going to receive in the future 100 times over. Like, he will work it all out. But it starts with, do I have faith in him? Not only conceptually, but literally, because that's where salvation is found as well. Well, if you've got questions you'd like us to tackle, you can head over to bath.gracechurches.org/mixed messages and send them our way. And we'd love to hear how these conversations are helping you, so don't be a stranger. If you're enjoying the podcast, make sure to subscribe, follow, rate, and review to help others find it too. And of course, we'd love to see you here at Grace this weekend to keep running after this God, this Jesus that we trust and want to follow, or you can even begin to check us out online. Thank you so much for jumping in with us today as we continue to seek God's voice through all the mixed messages around us. We'll see you next time.